What I'm gonna do is show two animation. One, I'll just show one animation. It was made by Fort Nelson First Nations. To describe and show in a very quick way the pace and scale of industry activity. Every second is a month. I'll sort of take you through about 12 years in a few minutes. I want you to watch this area right here. That's the Horn River Basin. And what I want you to watch and think about is what kind of conflicts would you see if this was your home? And if this is where your grandfather came from and your grandfather's grandfather came from. So here we are, 05. Hydraulic fracturing, horizontal drilling is getting perfected in the Barnett Shale, and people recognize unconventional energy as a real possibility. 07, 10 years of getting sold, notice the exploration, these are seismic. Then 08 and 09, and this is to scale. This is OGC data, straight up. This is the size. This map is about 174,000 square kilometers, and that's the center of it, Horn River, right there. And so it goes. No, we're almost there. It's available publicly, actually, on the Common Sense Canadian website, which is why I'm allowed to use it. But again, I want you to think about not only cumulative impact, but just what conflict would look like in that context. What would accommodation and consultation look like if you were from there? And if you're one of those people who like to live off the land, or you're one of those people who remembers a time when that land was relatively pristine. You know, that's what we deal with, and that's what we see. And there's another interesting point here, because I'm in Vancouver. This is the second time I've spoken in this room, and I made this point last time I was here. I don't know how many of you have been to Northeast BC. A number of you, I'm positive, but some perhaps not. I'm not sure how many people knew about this in 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, when the boom was really pushing. I mean, you might have seen some profits. You might have seen some really interesting revenue reports from the provincial government, a couple new buildings, some new infrastructure. Decreased price of heating in the wintertime. But that's what it looked like on my side. And that's a base of conflict as well, because the conflict between the hinterland and the heartland, between the rural and the urban, is significant in my work and the work of my people. You know, we've had to like actively engage and push and try and make people understand what happened up there, just to have a dialogue, never mind like really engage with the issues or the consequences. Okay, there we go. This this slide was meant more just to talk about what's happened since. Market value, $9.24 billion in 08. Since 2005, our core territory, which is territory adjacent to rivers, streams, areas where there's moose lakes, areas known to be important to us, has been sold off and leased, again, without consultation. Although ILMB was kind enough to allow us to put notations on lease sales saying the nation has very significant concerns with this particular parcel because, and there are some cases where they did pull it for a month or two or three and deny the sale for a while to assuage our concerns. Anyway, so I'll try and get through this. These are the areas of conflict that I've seen. Now, I'm not sure how many of you guys remember where these pictures came from. Do you remember this? 08, 09? Second round of pipeline bombings in Northeast BC. I had left for law school at the time, so there's no way. Oh, God. Yeah, I really start sweating up here. But these are the areas of conflict that we've noticed. This is a summary from multiple slides that both myself and many others from the nation have put forward. And I'll just run through some pictures to show you the examples. But these are the areas and the types of conflicts that really get impacted on the ground and really cause issues with consultation and those kinds of processes and really make it difficult for us to have relationships with the government and with the industry. Linear disturbance, I just want to make a quick point here. Linear disturbance isn't brutal only because it looks like that or it causes things like this that allow for any hunter who doesn't know anything about the land to come in and shoot moose or deer or elk or whatever. Wolves and other predators use these to move quite efficiently. So there's a $1,000 bounty right now on wolves in my territory, put on by my nation, because we've seen wolf packs like we've never seen before, decimating already emaciated moose population, elk population, and caribou in particular. Caribou are way on the decline. And so our nation has stepped up and said, we have to get rid of the wolves. And we don't want to, but it's just the nature of what we're facing. Because they can move using these, they can attack different herds very efficiently. And the point with this, I mean, aside from the obvious impact, is just that impacts are atypical. Impacts are contingent upon where you come from, and conflict is contingent upon your perspective of what's important. So linear impact might be, you know, addressed by an oil and gas commission person by, you know, having a dog leg like this. See how it turns? Well, that's so that a hunter can't shoot 800 yards using a 300 Winchester Magnum, for example, and, you know, wound a moose because he just happens to have a big Magnum rifle. These are designed so that you can't shoot long distance. So jackasses from the oil patch, for example, who don't know anything about hunting, take long shots and wound animals. Problem is that doesn't really address the fundamental issue, which is that you basically have a highway for wolves throughout your territory. And as you've seen in the maps previous, there's lots of them. The land is forever changed. Just a point about conceptions. Okay, pollution. When I was in Aotearoa, I was apologizing to Maori and Pacifica people because I felt that I had an obligation to them because of the CO2 that comes out of my territory. I'm not sure if you guys share that, but it's just an interesting point that when we think about pollution, there's this, you know, there's the obvious stuff like produced water, groundwater inflow, hydraulic fracturing, diesel, sand, chemicals, all those things. You know, oil leaking from these all over God's green earth, but also bigger issues like 200 million tons of carbon dioxide come out of Canada's largest gas plant, which is the Cabin gas plant built in the heart of the Horn River Basin. So that area that you saw accumulated, those are other things. And that's a conflict of a different kind to my mind. And this is something I'll speak to in the end. That's a conflict of humans with the natural world. And that preaches to a need for reconciliation bigger than what is posited in mainstream Aboriginal law. Another point from pollution, this I'm not sure you guys can see, this is a lined pit, so this is probably produced water, meaning they came back up out of this hole and was put here and will be dealt with one way or the other. This is an artist rendering of Encana's long-term water license withdrawal facility. The point with this slide and the conflict here is that this is the Fort Nelson River. It's one of the central rivers in our territory. We're river people at Chardonnay. And a long-term water license, which carries, you know, a minimum 5-year up to 40-year term for literally millions or billions of gallons, raises a lot of concerns in the community, especially because gas pipelines can transport water as well. And we live in an era of climate change, and it's very clear that if you have a commodity and it turns out to be very valuable, you might be like Alcan and sell the power rather than make aluminum because it makes you more money. And we are concerned about things like this because no one builds a multi-million dollar withdrawal facility in an era of depressed gas prices unless you're going to make a return on their investment. Why would you do that? You've been doing fine with years of short-term water applications year by year, which there's no consultation on, but that's a side issue. Well, it's not a side issue, it's another issue. Why is that being done? And again, so when we think about conflict, I just want you guys to understand that the conflict that I refer to is not only the conflict that is simple and straightforward and appears before us, but it's the conflict about what might come and what the real plan is and what the real implications are of given processes and decisions. That's Damien, actually, in the back of his head. This is taken a couple years ago. So, let's get too excited here. There we go. This. H2S, poisonous gas, authorized personnel only. Do not enter. If you're unfortunate enough to have a cabin on this side, if you're unfortunate enough to have a holy place out here, this is a problem. And interference with First Nations and land users is a big issue because in some ways this development allows access, but in other ways it impedes it. And again, if the land is your larder, your church, your place of refuge, what do you do when this shows up all over?